all about what Jesus has done to obtain us, and we make it about what we've done to obtain him. Welcome to the Newly Podcast with Mish and Sav,
where we discuss topics from the old way of the flesh versus the new way of the spirit. Hello.
It's our season finale.
Yay. Also really sad.
Yeah.
But also super...
Well, we're making another season, so...
Yes.
Don't fret.
Don't you worry.
Yeah. Season 2 will be coming soon. But we're ending it with a banger.
Yeah.
Talking about self-righteousness.
Ooh. I'm stepping on some toesies. But that's okay,
because... Old me's toes.
Literally. But it's okay, because... Freedom is around the corner for whoever you are.
Yes.
Well, can you define self-righteousness for us?
Yeah, I just realized the definition of this. You hear these words all the time, and you don't really know what they mean. Exactly. You know what I mean? And now it matters what every word means.
Yes, it literally freedom. Does.
And so, self-righteous is trying to get right with God by yourself.
Yeah.
And I can't find a better way to describe how I used to live. Honestly. Because it was, like, all up to me all the time.
It was all about my yes.
Yeah.
Both just horses.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, we would go... Like, and I love the stuff that we went to. Like, it was so, like, transformative in our lives at the time. But, like, we were always together, like...
Yeah.
Just trying to say yes to the Lord or, like, lay everything down. Give him everything.
Yeah. And I didn't even know what to give.
I know, but I'm like, there's got to be something in there.
Search my heart.
Right, because that must be what's wrong. Because we knew it wasn't right. We knew we weren't where we were supposed to be, so it must be that there's something in there. And so it's just like laying everything down all the time.
Yeah.
And then just never feeling like when you die, he's going to say good. Well done.
Yes.
Like, I never had that assurance.
No, not at all.
No.
I was like, man, I hope.
Yeah.
I can hope and pray.
I hope I just get in, honestly.
I hope and pray. Yeah. He says, well done, because I can't see what I've done.
Yeah. I feel like yours was more genuine, though. Like, I feel like you more just, like, wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah, I did.
I think I was more prideful about it.
Really? There was a soul difference, if we want to get into it right now.
Like,
when I was in my family, it was weird. Like, I was living two different lives, but at the same time, it felt normal.
Yeah.
And, like, on one hand, I did want to try. Like, I tried so hard. And I think it was because of the shame that I was living in and how much desperately I wanted to get out of that shame.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it was causing me to, like, what can I possibly do? to not feel this way anymore. And so I would go to different things and, like...
So your source of relationship with God was trying to get out of the shame.
Yes.
That's very sad.
It's very sad, actually. And so I guess there was a point where I reached where I felt like I was out of shame. And then that's where I think self-righteousness, like, creeped in. Is because now that I'm no longer, like, looking at bad things...
Yeah.
I now have pride.
Yeah.
That, like... I'm changed.
Yeah.
And, like, so, yeah, I think, and it showed mainly with my family. Like, I remember me and my grandpa would get into arguments, and he would call me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think you're better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you have no idea what I've gone through. Or, like, you have no idea what I've been through to achieve.
Yeah, you have no idea how hard I've worked to obtain what I have.
That's exactly what I said. Like, you have no idea.
My flesh works really hard.
It's like I'm on my knees constantly.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, and I could not be corrected. At that, like, that was the one thing that I just couldn't do, is because I finally reached a point where I was proud of myself for not doing something bad that caused me to feel so bad about myself. And I thought that's what God wanted for me. Like, I was like, oh, I have maxed Mm-hmm. Like, I'm no longer doing the thing that held me back. And mm-hmm. so I think it just, it created a monster, to be honest. Like, self-righteousness in me created such a huge monster.
And you would compare yourself to your family and be like, you knew that.
I thought it was better than them.
Yeah. 100%. But then, like, God still loved them, even though they weren't pursuing God like you were.
Exactly.
And you're, and like, I could upset never, about that.
Yes, I would get so mad. Like, I mean, I ain't trying to expose nobody.
Yeah.
But, like, I would just say that because it's my story. So, like, my siblings or whatever, they would go out mm-hmm. and, like, drink.
Mm-hmm.
And do all that stuff. And I was just so different than them. Like, I was always in church. Just always with Savannah, honestly. Like, never anywhere else. And we were always at somewhere.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And I remember, like, my grandpa would be so hard on me. Quote, unquote, hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was hard that the fact that he, like, would question me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. And so I would be like, are you kidding? Like, do you not know what I do? And you applaud them. And, like, you just welcome them. And, like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
It was basically the...
The older brother.
The older brother.
Literally.
That was the older brother. And...
And you know what I noticed about that story today?
What?
It's the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, if you haven't read it already. But the older brother, the younger brother goes out and lives a wild life and then comes back and the father welcomes him in. And then the older brother's upset because he never left.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says to his dad, he says, look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends.
He said
served, though. Like, it's like the older brother is still operating as, like, a servant.
Wow.
I just noticed today. Like, and then the father reminds him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. So the dad, the father's, like, restoring him back to son, too. Like, your son.
You just made me love this story even more. Because that was literally me. Like,
I've served you. Look at what I've done for you.
Like, for me, like, yes, in a way, I was the younger brother.
Yeah.
But, like, I definitely related more to the older son because, mm-hmm. I mean, that literally was my life.
Yeah.
And I would get, and I just couldn't see it. I couldn't see why. Like, how do you, like, grapple, how do you just do that?
Yeah, I just love them just as much when.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm doing everything right. And yet, you still, you know, bring them home, you know, and, like, and now I do, like, oh my gosh, it was such a revelation this morning when I realized my actual place in the story, when I realized that I was the, like, the old Misha was the older brother, and then I was like, oh, that's what my grandpa did, like, my grandpa was such an example of the father, of, like, always loving and always welcoming them home, which means, like, I can still, like, I can see my brothers and sisters rightly through that lens, like, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
In it.
It's so whack to even think the old way.
No, it really is. Like, I can't even fathom thinking that way anymore.
I know. It's so weird, like, after just being in free, it hasn't even been that long.
No.
But, like, you just get, it's just like a complete 180 that it's almost hard to imagine what it used to be like.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
But, yeah. I was just very much on my actions. So, like, reading my Bible every day, spending time with God, waking up early, and, like, thinking that that qualified me. Or doing ministry things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, believing God has a call in my life, and, like, but, like, looking at other people and what they're doing, and, like, they're not doing as much as me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all jet, to be honest. It is. Because it's just all operating. What's the word? It's operating out of
what you can bring to the table.
Yeah. And you bring nothing.
Yeah.
To the table.
Lately, we've been talking about how you can't even read the Bible in the flesh.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. And Adam set this at Bible study, that we always say that Jesus spoke in parables to make it easy to understand. And it's like, no, actually, no. They're super confusing. And that's why he always says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And now every time I hear that, I'm like, it just like, it's yeah. like, that's me. I'm like, I have ears now. Thank you, yeah. God. Like, and so everything that we read before was just so, like, you took it the exact opposite way.
Yes.
Because we used to read it in the flesh. And the great story of that is the parable of the pearl of great value. And it's two verses, so I'll just read it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Two little verses. And this is how I would read it.
It's so funny because my brain immediately goes to what it means in the spirit.
Right.
Like,
because you have ears to hear and eyes to see. But before, when you don't have that and you're just like reading the Bible, and then there's that verse that says, like, you search the scriptures day and night, but you refuse to come to me. Like, that was me. I would always read that verse, like a little scared. So I was like, sounds like me. I don't know. I think it might be me. Not anymore, though. Praise God. Yes. But yeah, so I read this, and I was like, okay, so Jesus is obviously the pearl, because I'm trash. And I found the pearl, which is Jesus, so
yes.
Now I have to go and sell all that I have to obtain it.
Yeah.
And that was exactly how we lived our lives. God send me, use me, I say yes.
Yeah.
Like, here's everything, all the time. Man, and nothing never happened.
Nothing changed.
I never brought anything.
Nothing changed in my life. At all.
Well, I heard Love Reality teach that we are the pearl. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hold up. No way. Because I was like, this is too good to be true. There's no way that I'm the pearl. Like, it just can't be. And so I looked up, like, even other commentaries.
Because mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, like, what are other biblical scholars saying? And even people that don't even really maybe understand the real gospel, all admit that it's talking about us.
Wow.
Like, we are the pearl. Why? Because we have nothing that we can sell to buy the pearl. We have nothing that we can sell to buy Jesus.
Man.
And Jesus gave everything that he had to obtain us. We were talking about, like, what is the cost of following Jesus?
Yeah.
Because that's such, like, a big thing in our, like, culture is, like, know the cost or what is the cost? Because, like, in the spirit, we're just, like, it doesn't really seem like there's a cost.
Yeah. Because, yes, that is literally what they say all the time. Count the cost.
Yeah.
And, like, and so this morning when I woke up, I was like, God, what is the cost?
Which, like, I feel like there's a difference between the initial cost of, like, getting saved, but that's not what people are usually talking about.
No.
These are people, I used to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I'd been saved for, like, my whole life. And I'm still counting the cost every single day.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think it's
different.
The flesh.
Yeah.
I think, like, there is a cost when living in the flesh because you have to give up what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, no one really wants to do that. So it's almost like okay, God, I'll just do it for, like, I'll do it for you.
Right.
And, like, are we really, like, is that the heart? Like, the heart is still in a place where it just doesn't need to be because your focus is on the things of the flesh and not of him, of what I have to give up to follow him.
Yep.
Like,
it's worse.
What actually is more than following him?
Yeah.
Like, what actually is worth more than him? Nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like, nothing
in the flesh, it seems hard, though. Like, you know,
seems
so hard. But, like, when you realize in the spirit, we have nothing already.
We have nothing
to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do have has been given from God.
Yes.
So it's like, what is the alternative? To go through life and just, like, experience death every single day? Like, operating out of lack?
And I think that's where, like, they're misleading meaning of dying daily.
Yeah.
I think that's where it stems from. To be honest, it's just like having to die daily, not realizing that you're dead and new.
Right. Editing Savannah here. I just wanted to clarify that right now we are referring to Matthew 16:24, which says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And then we also kind of refer to 1 Corinthians 15:31, that is where Paul says that he dies daily. But in New Living Translation, it actually says, for I swear, dear brothers and sisters, that I face death daily. So he's not talking about dying daily, like that he dies to himself daily or dies to the flesh daily, because we know that the flesh is dead. He's saying that for their sake, he's in prison, he's being persecuted and suffering for the Lord, like he faces death every single day. So just a little important clarification. Now on to the episode.
And that verse means, like, this is what, when you follow Jesus, this is what your life will look like. Not to follow Jesus, you have to die daily. Because that's almost like you have to get saved every single day.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not what's happening.
But, like, when you follow the desires of your flesh, you do have to die daily.
Yeah, I said, you're right.
Like, that, I mean, that's...
That is how you read that in the flesh, and that is what you do. Yeah, like, okay, God, today I die to the flesh. I
won't do this.
To walk in the spirit. Mm-hmm. But once you realize it's once and for all, and once you have died, that is how you walk every single day when you follow him.
Yeah. Realizing what state you're actually in. It's like what I said in the first episode, like, living in that state is, like, the walking dead.
Yeah.
Like... No, you've been made new, you're alive.
Mm-hmm. When you're walking in the spirit, that just all happens so naturally.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have to read, we have to be in the spirit. Like, you have to know that you're in the spirit and have the eyes to see and the ears to hear to read this stuff. Because when you do, you realize, like, actually, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's not a cost. Because, like, a cost assumes that you have the funds to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, however something... So, say it costs $1,000 to follow Jesus. That assumes that you're going to be able to pay $1,000 to follow him. And that's very, very problematic, because then it's just, like, it's all about you. Mm-hmm. And, like, you earning Jesus. You know? And then it's the whole pearl thing. Like, look what I have done to obtain Jesus. Look what I have done to obtain the pearl. I have sold everything I had. I have read my Bible every day. I have done ministry for however many years, and it's so, that's so bad, because it's all about what Jesus has done to obtain us, and we make it about what we've done to obtain him. Yeah.
So is it safe to say he paid the cost?
Yeah. He paid the cost, and in the pearl story we just read, he sold all that he had to obtain us.
Mm.
And so, I love what Dan Muller says. The cost of following Jesus is everything you were never created to be. It's just letting go. It's like, the cost is dying. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we die to the flesh. We participate in death with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, like, we naturally let go of everything from the old way. Everything. It's not like we have to individually go through all of the things that we're letting go of. Like, no. We just die with him.
Yeah.
And put everything in the old way, in the flesh, which has literally only equaled death our whole entire lives, and raise a newness of life with him. So to me, it's like, what does it cost? It's nothing. I'm receiving a gift of my created value and who I was always meant to be before the foundation of the world. Like, that doesn't sound like a cost to me.
I think he paid it.
Yeah.
I think that's my answer from now on.
Yeah.
Is that I just believe he paid it. Whatever it may be, like, I guess that's the answer to what they're battling in their flesh, if that makes sense. Like, for an example, they say, what, a cost can be, like, loss leaving your family or something like that for a ministry or something like that, for example. Like, that loss is... the cost that they've paid to follow them.
I just can't. It's like, nobody's doing that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a thing, though.
Yeah.
But I would say to that, like,
I know some people have, but it's like the majority of us are just sitting in our rooms, like, still with our parents.
Because that would be something people would question, though. Like, because it's said on platforms.
Yeah.
Almost every Sunday. Some one church this Sunday is saying that. Yeah. But I would say that Jesus paid for that. Like, he paid that you don't, that's not a loss.
Right.
Like, he paid for you to know that that is not a loss.
Right. Yeah, so, like, if, yeah, when that stuff happens, it's actually not a cost to us.
Yeah, because
we already have the prize. Like, we already have the reward of
Jesus,
and it's, like, always enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, like, so paid in full. Cost paid in full every single day.
Your cost is paid in full.
Yeah.
By Jesus and what he's accomplished. And he is the finisher. So that means it's done. So, like, there's nothing there. So it's easy to just take up your mat and follow him.
Yeah.
So it's, that's just, like, that's just what you do. That's the byproduct of living in freedom, is being able to easily believe him and follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they say to live is death, to die is gain.
Like, to live is Christ, to die is
that.
Gain. Yep.
I re-say it.
To live is death.
To live is death. I'm crying. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, that's why some would say, look at the death. Like, that would be the cost of following him. But no, that is a gain. So is that really...
Yeah.
That is a privilege.
Like, every single day in my life, we're not... I'm not waking up like, wow, what is the cost today?
Yeah.
It's just not it.
No, I just live.
Yeah, and it's a gift.
Yeah.
I would rather die than go back to the old way.
Yeah.
Because it's just death every day. So, what is the cost that I'm paying right now to live in what I'm living? Nothing. It's everything that I was never created to be.
Yeah.
Which I don't want that.
Yeah.
Anymore at all.
My perspective has changed, and that's everything.
Yeah.
It's the lens of which I look through. It's the veil removed. So therefore, everything has changed.
Yeah.
And forever will be changed.
And no matter what we go through, like, nothing can shake it.
Yeah.
So what do we say to someone who feels like they are self-righteous, but doesn't know how to get out of it?
Well, realize that you died.
I think we just assume that if you're listening and you believe in Jesus,
yes,
then you have died with Christ, and you need to wake up to the realization and believe it finally.
Yeah.
You know, that you have participated in death and resurrected in newness of life. You have died to self-righteousness. The only way it can be bad news is that quote Rich says, the good news is bad news if you're married to the old way.
Yeah.
So just let go.
Yeah.
Something someone I was talking to said, they were afraid to embrace freedom because that would mean admitting that they didn't have it before. So don't let that be you. Like, it's good news.
Yeah.
To understand, like, wow, I haven't had this, and this is the thing that's been missing my whole life.
Yeah.
And receive it, rather than hearing this and going, like, I didn't have this. I don't want people to find out I didn't have this. Like, that's pride.
Yeah, no.
That's self-righteous, like, the whole thing. Like, don't do that. That'll keep you from receiving the gift, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Because then you're just walking around with that.
Pretending.
And that is heavy.
Yeah,
that's real heaviness.
Taking it till you make it. That was old Savannah. Hardcore.
That was me too, when you had got free.
Yeah.
That heaviness was wild.
Yeah.
And it's like a front, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like...
And people can see right through that, man. When you're walking in spirit.
The thing Satan will say, like, he's okay with you knowing basic things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's when you get so close to the real thing.
Yeah.
That's when it's just like, no can do.
Yeah.
Like.
Everything he has to get you to, like,
mm-hmm.
not.
So it's like all these... little things. Yeah. Like, I remember Oh my God, when we would write declarations or whatever. That was so wild to me.
Why?
Just like, because I didn't believe anything that I was writing on those cards. And I thought,
yeah.
like, Satan used that as Misha. You have to obtain each and every one of these cards.
You'll believe them one at a time.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, we just obtain it all at once. Uh-huh. It's amazing.
So it's just really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the flesh's last, like, last chance to keep you down.
Literally.
So just let it go, man. Like, what life has it ever given you?
Yeah. None.
None. It's brought death. Like, man, I just want people to understand.
I know.
It's, like, so passionate.
That's all I ever want now.
I understand what Paul said when he's like, I am moved to tears, or, like, grieved to tears for Christ to be formed in you. Is like what he says somewhere. And it's like, that is how I feel. Receive your gift, guys. Is there anything else we should end on? Is our little finale?
I feel like we should address our three questions that we got. Might as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. First of all, we asked for questions
on Instagram. So you guys,
we got 70 views with three questions.
Yeah.
So you guys were a big help.
I know one of them was about dating.
But the question was, what are your thoughts on dating? How is it in the spirit? Knowing we're full in Christ. I don't date.
Yeah. So I think that's that. Because you are full in Christ. So you're not like out there searching.
But I also didn't date in the flesh.
Yeah.
Like I didn't date at all. And I think also, I was thinking about this today as well. A lot of thoughts were running through my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think... So I tried to download, what is it called? Dating websites.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get far.
Yeah.
And I felt terrible, honestly. Like, really? Yeah, I was like, this isn't for me. You can ask anyone. Like, I would be like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Something in my spirit says no.
Just for you, it was a no.
And so, and if you look at the basis of it, from what I know, it's all face value. And it's all, like, honestly, it's all if I think you're cute or not.
Mm-hmm.
What society thinks is cute or not. And if not, you get swiped right. And if you are ugly, you get swiped the left.
Yeah.
Basically. And it's so terrible. And it's completely awful. And it's just, like, and I was listening to Will and Joyce's podcast.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you really want dating advice, just listen to their whole podcast. And then
Death to Life.
I feel like you will know what to do.
Yeah, it was like God brought them together.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that is a big part of it. Like, it's not trusting that God will do it, you know?
But I also don't want to negate that some people have met their significant other on a website. Not me. Yes. I won't be doing that.
And I think it could be easy for your intentions to be like not content, lonely. I don't know. I don't trust that God's going to bring someone to me. So I'm going to get on the dating and go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know. But like, yeah, in the spirit, you're just like,
but the one complete. Thing, the one thing that they said that stood out to me was along the lines of like, Holy Spirit was our compatibility.
Oh, our chemistry or something?
Yeah, our chemistry.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit was our chemistry.
Yeah.
And beautiful. That like negates everything that everything else stands for. So when we know... was asked about dating in some sorts, and I was like, do tell, like, what do you think? And like, long answer short, he just said like he doesn't agree with it.
Yeah.
And like, it's just looking for what you don't like about a person.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh
yeah.
And that's pretty much what it is. It's like, I'm just looking at you for face value and seeing what I don't like about a person.
Yeah.
And judging it off base of that. When, like, if Holy Spirit is what makes us compatible.
Right.
In our, that is what it is. That's just what it is. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Past.
Past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like being in freedom just changes everything.
Yeah, so it's like, I no longer look at the things that I used to.
Because you actually see people through the eyes of the spirit, and it's like, there's something beautiful about everybody.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you
meet someone in the spirit and you love them, the Holy Spirit is your chemistry, and then you get married. I'm like,
exactly. But I think that's, at least personally, that's what I view people under the lens. Like, if I can't see him as brother first, like, there's just, like, no point. So many people who I trust have warned about dating websites.
Yeah. So you're just good.
So I have took that upon myself.
Yeah.
To say no.
Yeah.
And see where that leads. Our second question. How does freedom apply to trauma and mental health?
All of these questions are real big.
That's a whole nother episode for sure sometime.
Okay.
But I would just say, not only are you free from sin, but you're healed from sin committed against you. And that's big, big for me. Like, even with Brayden, just, like, traumatic things he used to say to me when we would fight real bad. Mm-hmm. And then I realized I was still, like, positioning to him according to the things that he'd said mm-hmm. in the past. And then God revealed to me, like, no, like, you're not only set free from sin, which I believe, you're also healed from sin committed against you. So I can now position him according to the Spirit and not according to what he's done.
So good. How would you share the gospel, evangelize to someone?
Someone we know.
No, I haven't done it.
You said you haven't done it?
No.
To you someone, share the gospel with your
that's
friends.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. So let's...
Yeah.
Let's backstory that.
Yeah, I mean, you just... First, you just live your life.
Yeah.
But I don't like the excuse, like, just live your life and then people will ask you what's different about you.
Yeah, no, because if they don't ask you...
That's a cop-out. Yeah.
Then it's just as like... Then you're living by...
Yeah.
It's... I feel like it's an open gate for you to feel... Am I really not free? Because no one's
asking me.
No one's noticed yeah. that I've changed.
Just sharing what Jesus has done in you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we have done. Like, with family, like, we get together and we're like, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
I used to be like this, and now I'm like this.
With and friends?
Jesus. Same
the
thing.
The same.
Yeah. And then no longer compromising. Like, when someone, not to be argumentative, but, like, if someone says something that you used to believe, not just sitting there and agreeing, but being like, yeah, actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I used to see that way, and now I see this way. And like, speaking truth over people.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the answers, and you do.
Because it may not so easily come up for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, when I'm with my friends or whatever, like, I remember one time, I turned on a song.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Death to Life song. Is a testimony
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that we're justified, and I was like, do you know what that means? They're like, what? I was like, do you know what justified means? That you're justified?
Yeah. And they were like, no, not really.
And they were like, I mean, you're gonna tell me anyway.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, you're so right.
Yeah.
And so that's
how opportunities
that's kind of
yeah. Brayden said he does sideways ministry where he will tell someone about a story that happened with him and someone else. Like, I was talking to so-and-so about how God changed my life and this and that and the other. So, like, you're really talking to that person.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not at them. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, where it's, like, so intense. So, that's always good, too. Or, like,
because
no, Brayden's always talking to people. Like, guess who I got to talk to today? About this, that, and the other. And, you know, share truth with them. And so you're also sharing truth with the person you're talking to, but they don't feel like the walls are up. Like, you're at, you know what I mean? Like, you're...
They don't feel as vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening to season one of the Newly podcast.
With Mish and Zach.
It was super fun. Season two, we're going to be bringing on guests.
Yes.
So, stay tuned for that. We're going to take a few weeks off and then hopefully rebrand a little bit. In the meantime, please leave us a 5-star review.
Mm-hmm.
Email us. newlymishandsav@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram.
@mishandsav.
Yeah, and just, like, you know, catch up on the past episodes if you have missed any. We love you guys.
Peace and blessings.